The Mo Show is a production of MoFit.com. Any unauthorized reproduction or distribution of The Mo Show will result in a very stern talking to, so don't do it. Call The Mo Show at 347-857-2793. We'd really, really like to hear from you. Seriously. I'm not kidding about it.
I welcome this opportunity to speak to the people of America about a subject which I believe to be most important, and that is the subject of physical fitness.
And now, the hosts of The Mo Show, Mark Boucher and Christine Hetzel. Yeah!
But a lot of clapping for really nothing. Hey, it's 7 o'clock on Thursday. It's the 30th of April. We are in 2015. Christine Hetzel couldn't make it tonight, but we still have Nolan with us. Nolan broadcasting with us from the beautiful city of Tampa, Florida. Hey, Nolan, how's it going?
It's going great, Mark, and you are absolutely right. It is gorgeous here today.
Yeah. Christine got tied up at work. She may still make it later on. I'm not going to put any money on it, but we may hear from her. But, yeah, she has you know, she works in an industry where last-minute things happen, and so she got called away. But, you know what, we'll still talk about her as if she was here. We can still do that.
I think that's a great plan. She'll appreciate that.
So we do this every Thursday. The telephone number, if you want to call in and be part of the show, and we would love it if you did, is area code 347-857-2793. And this is The Mo Show. I am Mark Boucher. Nolan Etheridge is our co-host tonight / call screener. So when you do call in, he will be the pleasant voice that you hear answering on the other end of the phone. Some cool stuff lined up for the show tonight. We're going to talk to Allie Newell, who is the proprietor and dungeon master over at the 26.2 CrossFit here in the Melbourne, Florida area. It's in actually, I think it's in Rockledge. But he's going to call in. We're going to discuss a topic. I'm only going to tease it and say that in certain circles, I've had very polarizing discussions about this, Nolan. And you know what we're going to talk about as well. We're just talking about it.
I certainly do.
Yeah. People are as adamant about this as, you know, which way the toilet paper should come off the spool. So it should be a lively discussion, and looking forward to talking to Allie Newell from 26.2 CrossFit here in Melbourne. So he's going to call in. Then fast forward about 20 to 8 or so, we are going to talk to Trish, who is the race director for the, I hope I get this right, I believe it's the Indy Atlantic Boardwalk Triathlon. And she's the one, you know, the big cheese that puts that whole thing together. So if you're listening and you have some questions just about triathlons or what goes into putting them on, that would be an awesome time to call in, and I'm sure she would love to take your questions on that. Nolan, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even want to organize, a breakfast, never mind something under that magnitude.
I can't imagine, but you know, the common feelings around most athletic events, especially ones that incorporate tremendous numbers of people, you rarely walk away saying, man, that was a great event, if it wasn't organized properly. It doesn't matter how good the obstacles are or the course is laid out or any of those other things. If it's not run smoothly, you walk away with a bad taste in your mouth.
Yep. Sorry. I was just looking at MoFit.com, and I just realized there's not a link to the show yet. So I am going to go put the link up there, and while I'm doing that, Nolan, give me your thoughts on Bikram yoga.
Yeah, I don't do yoga, so I don't know what to tell you there, but I will tell you, while you're doing that, I'll give you my my Mudder Minute. It's busy weekend for Tough Mudder. You and I are both Mudder Legionnaires, so Tough Mudder is going on right now in this weekend in London, Central Texas, and Atlanta. And this just said I'm not connected. Mark, can you still hear me? All right. Well, I'm going to keep going as if I'm still on the air. Mark disconnected, not me. I gotcha. Well, then I'll carry on. Back to my mutter minute here. Sorry about that. Little technical glitch going on Mark's side. Anyway, Tough Mudder's going on this weekend in London, Central Texas, and Atlanta. One of these days I'd really like to get to run the Atlanta one. I am still recuperating from breaking my leg at Tough Mudder here in Florida last year. I actually broke the tip of my tibia off. Tons of fun. I did finish the race, though. That's one of the rules at Tough Mudder. If the bone's not showing, you have to finish the race. I'm sure that's in the thing I signed somewhere online. But Atlanta is not too far away, so if any of my Atlanta friends are listening, good luck at Tough Mudder this weekend. We also have Savage Race going on in Maryland this weekend, one of my very favorites. And this weekend for Warrior Dash is in Arkansas and Oklahoma. Maryland's coming up, still on official hiatus from those because of my injury last year. But I am going to try this year to catch the Tennessee one. And I think Mark's back with us. Mark, you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me? Do I sound good? Do I sound as sexy as I did before? Yeah.
You sound just smooth as silk, my friend.
Awesome.
Giving everyone a rundown of where Tough Mudder, Savage Race, and Warrior Dash are this weekend.
Cool.
Tough Mudder's in Atlanta this weekend. It hurts because I wanted to run that one this year, but I'm forcing myself not to because of the injury. Next year.
Yeah. Bear with me one more second. I'm going into the – if you're listening now, you don't care about this because you need my the link off the site to get to it. So now – and, of course, we just switched over to a whole new platform, and it takes me hours to edit the site because I haven't figured it all out yet. But let's see. Let me go into my I believe we're going to go into the pages. Yeah, we're going to go to the Mo Show. Then I am going to go – how about this? Here's the link, colon, paste, update. Awesome. I think that's, what do you think? Did it take?
Let's see.
Oh, shit. Yeah, looks like we're good.
Awesome.
Yep. Okay, awesome. So anyway, so we've got Allie calling in 20 after. He'll be here in about 12, 13 minutes or so. And then 20 till, once again, Trish, who's the race director at the Indy Atlantic Boardwalk Triathlon. So that should be pretty cool. In the meantime, we do like to discuss fitness news of the week and things that happened and are funny or newsworthy or entertaining or just you know, a good how-to. And I was kind of hoping that we did have Christine here for this one, Nolan, because it's a topic that her and I have talked about a couple of times. In fact, it's related to Bikram yoga, actually, which we were just starting to talk about a few minutes ago. But I made a deal with her where if she was going to do a GORUCK event with me at some point in the future, then I would go to a Bikram yoga session, which is 90 minutes long in a and, you know, 105 temperature with the, 100% humidity. So it sounds like a real blast. So anyway, I was hoping that, she would be here to talk about this article, which I found at, I think it's at health.com, and it's about Bikram yoga and not being all it's cracked up to be from a safety standpoint. You know what Bikram yoga is, right, Nolan?
It sounds like hot yoga, but I've not heard the term Bikram yoga.
Yeah, it's very similar to it. I think it's maybe a little bit more structured. So I'll read a couple of snippets here from the article. This is actually from Time magazine is where I found this. It was a study that was sponsored by the American Council on Exercise. And it showed practicing yoga in a hot room can raise internal temperatures and heart rates to levels that may be dangerous for some people. And then there's a quote here. The dramatic increase in heart rate and core temperature are alarming when you consider that there is very little movement and therefore little cardiovascular training going on during the class. And that was from the author of the study saying that. Bikram yoga is typically 90 minutes long and is practiced in a room that is 105 degrees with 40% humidity. Okay, so I was wrong about that part. To understand what the impact is on the body, the researchers looked at 20 healthy volunteers between the ages of 28 and 67. All the men and women regularly practiced Bikram yoga. At the start of the study, the men and women swallowed a core body temperature sensor. First of all, awesome. That's like freaking movie cool. and wore a heart rate monitor during the class. Abso-freaking-lutely. That would be on YouTube before I even got home. Their core temperature was recorded before the class started and then at every 10-minute intervals. Heart rate was recorded every minute. So the men and women also had a... what did they find? The core temperatures went higher than 103. Wow. one guy in the study had 104 degree temperature.
That is not safe.
I wouldn't think so.
Oh my goodness!
So there's that. Yeah. So that's what I promised to go be part of in the next month or so. I hope I get to swallow one of those camera pill things.
I can't imagine it's going to be any worse on you than GORUCK was, but, I mean, at least GORUCK, you know what you're doing. You know that. So what is the payoff if there's no cardiovascular increase? It sounds like all you're doing is really accelerating the heat of your body and stretching. Is there more to it?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, cleansing the pores. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be sweating.
Take a good shower. I would. That, yeah.
Your pores are just going to.
That just doesn't sound safe. I mean, apparently a lot of people do it, but.
I mean, your fingertip is going to look like that asteroid in Star Wars that they fly into and land.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
It's a geeky reference. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But we're both geeks.
Yeah. you're listening to the Mo Show. The telephone number is area code 347-857-2793. So back to Christine. I guess she's very much into yoga. She does Bikram yoga all the time. She hasn't died, so I mean she's still here, so it can't be all that bad. But we can pick this up again on the next show and see where she stands on this one. But I'll bring a microphone with me, too, when I do it, and we'll record the whole thing. That would be kind of cool.
That would be. And
yeah.
Listen to all the grunts and groans and that last splat as you hit the floor. Be awesome.
It's about 7:15. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Allie Newell from 26.2 CrossFit will be on with us, and we'll talk about that yet-to-be-disclosed topic. In the meantime, I'll tease this a little bit, but we'll dive back into it after we get in and out with Allie. Did you pay much attention to the Boston Marathon this time around?
Not really. I mean, that's not the sports I watch, but I did catch some of it, just because of the hype that's been around it due to the bombings. There's some touching moments, but I think if you run the darn thing, you're a winner. That's an amazing feat.
Well, that's a good lead in, Nolan, because this particular story is about a dude. And I remember hearing this on the radio too, because I was kind of passively listening to and monitoring the marathon. I wasn't really invested in it very much. And the next day, I heard that the last guy finally crossed the finish line. I thought, holy crap, that's either the most inspiring story that we're going to hear all year, or it's just some schmuck, that had no business running the marathon, right? It's one of those two.
Well, he has advanced Alzheimer's and just kept getting lost.
Still inspiring.
Oh,
my yeah.
See, now
so
I don't
thankfully,
feel so bad about my time at the last Tough Mudder. That makes me feel better.
Well, yeah, well, you had a broken ankle.
Yeah.
If I recall from the first obstacle.
Yes, it was first obstacle. Thank you for reminding me. No, the part I focus on is that I did 9 miles with it broken. That's the part I tell people. I don't tell them that I fell on the first flipping wall that I came to.
I don't always break my ankle at Tough Mudders, but when I do, it's obstacle.
I do it early. I'm totally going to make that shirt and wear it next time I do Tough Mudder.
Oh, yeah. Telephone number to get into the show. Once again, area code 347-857-2793. This is The Mo Show. I am Mark Boucher. The other voice there is Nolan Etheridge. Coming up momentarily, going to talk to Allie Newell over at 26.2 CrossFit about an interesting topic, and then we're going to come back to this Boston Marathon thing. I've got some great audio to play from this as well, but we can tease it a little bit. I'm going to scan through the article and find this guy's name. Mikel Melamed is his name. He's about 40 years old, and I don't know what he has, but it's severely disfiguring, and he's got a horrible muscle problem. And at one point, some of this is, you've heard this before, but it's still ridiculous. You know, he was told by doctors he'll never walk again, which for the right person, I can imagine is basically just nothing more than a challenge. And that was obviously the case here. And I'm looking forward to playing this audio about this guy. Looking at my console, still no Allie. So you know what? Hey, Nolan.
Yo. I'm here.
Let's go ahead and do this now. Come back after this, we'll talk about this a little bit more, and then we'll talk to Allie from 26.2 CrossFit. But this is some audio. This is from the CBS affiliate in, I want to say, they're in Boston. And it's a story about this guy who's 39 years old, severely disfigured with a pretty significant muscle issue, running the Boston Marathon and taking, I believe, over 24 hours. But here's the story.
How do I feel? A little tired after 16 hours of really great effort with a marvelous team that make me the human that I am. When you give it all, you feel peace inside. So that's me, my desire for everyone. Give it all, and you will feel real peace inside of you. I'm just trying to make an example of the possibility that they have with their lives.
Yeah, so how cool is that, man?
That is very cool.
He's obviously very foreign. His accent's pretty thick, but I mean, you can't miss his message there. The guy's all about, not quitting, right?
Absolutely. That's amazing. 24 hours.
You know, not to be a douchebag or anything, but how did he qualify for the Boston Marathon in the first place?
Do you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon? Can't you just run?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I believe there's a couple of categories that you can get in without having to qualify. That obviously, that was a joke.
You're talking to someone who'd never run a marathon, so I didn't know.
Yeah. Right.
I guess
right.
We could pull people and tell them you have to qualify to get into the Mutters, so we'll do that.
Used to be you had to qualify to get into the World's Toughest, but you don't have to do that anymore.
That's true.
Yep. All right,
looks
hey,
like
it's 20 after 7 here at the Mo Show. The telephone number here, area code 347-857-2793. And we welcome to the show a frequent visitor and guest, our friend Allie Newell from 26.2 CrossFit here in Florida. Hey, Allie.
What's up, Mark?
How's it going,
How are
my
you?
Man?
Not bad, not bad. Banging
What's
around
going
the house,
are you
sorry.
Are you in your CrossFit gym as we speak?
No, actually, I have finally ducked out the back door. Stowing the surfboard and heading out to dinner at the beach.
Oh.
There you go.
You make that sound so horrible. So,
No, it's a good life I live.
Yeah, you can say that again. Nolan and I were just discussing when you were going to call in that I had a mystery topic that we were going to talk about, and we discussed it off the air a little bit, and it's a topic that some people feel somewhat adamant about, and I have in the past taken conversations almost to argument stage over this particular topic. And so I'm looking forward to discussion with you here and get your take on it, and you as well, Nolan. And the subject matter is treadmills. And what made me bring it up was an article that I found here in this is on sciencedaily.com. There's a company that created a treadmill that they say is more, quote-unquote, more like running outdoors. And I'll read just a little bit of the content of the article here for you. Exercise researchers have developed a new treadmill that automatically changes speed to match the pace of the runner. The automated treadmill uses sonar to tell exactly where the runner is on the treadmill. And then if the runner picks up pace and moves toward the front of the running belt, the speed automatically increases, and then vice versa. It slows down if it moves towards the back, and the speed will decrease. So that's kind of neat. From a treadmill technology, sounds pretty cool, right? I mean, what do you think about that, Allie?
It sounds really neat. I mean, if nothing else, it's going to save people from squirting off the back of it when they fall down, which is, God knows, my favorite videos to watch.
Yeah, I think it is cool. And if you could, add to that, the ability to program routes in so that it, it gives you a positive or negative incline to match, terrain somewhere on a map or something. I think it'd be pretty cool. But, and here's where sometimes people feel pretty adamant one way or the other. The thing is, even with all that extra tech built into the treadmill, it's still just a treadmill. And I've always been of the opinion that training on a treadmill will only get you good at running on a treadmill.
And I will second that.
Unfortunately, I agree too. We did a whole lot of work, a friend of mine and I, back when I was first getting into running. And we did a bunch of work outside. Of course I ran on treadmills because everybody does. And, logged my half mile, mile, whichever, grabbed onto the rails, let the miles tick underneath me where I held my feet off of it. But we do a lot of training outside for like probably 3 or 4 months. And then we met up at a gym, one of the local gyms that had, the whole bank of treadmills with TVs and everything, drink holders and just anything you could ask for. And we got about, I'd say, a good 800 meters on the treadmills and just looked at each other like, what the hell? We live in Florida. And we walked outside and ran from the gym. And we did 3 or 4 miles, got back to the gym. We were all sweaty, and it occurred to us that it really, other than seeing naked men in the locker room, there was really no point coming to the gym anymore because treadmills were pretty much just... And seeing naked men isn't really high on my list of stuff to do, so I pretty much quit going to the gym.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we,
I mean,
we
that,
train
that...
all of our athletes outside because you, I mean, you get the smells, you get the sights, you get, like, epic PRs when dogs come out. You don't get to smell somebody smoking pot when you're running on a treadmill, but yet you go run in Rockledge and there you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's probably some houses in Rockledge where you just put the treadmill in the in those houses, you'll smell plenty of it.
Well, there's that, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Another thing
is that
a treadmill doesn't simulate running on the road. It's because when you run on the road, you are falling. And you're perpetuating the fall, and you're continuing that motion. When you run on a treadmill, you can't perpetuate a fall because the treadmill is moving underneath you. You have to destroy balance in order to create motion in the real world. On a treadmill, you don't have to destroy balance to create motion. All you have to do is push a button. And I'm a big proponent of functional fitness. It's a big catchphrase right now, but for us, it's functional fitness is stuff that train to do in the gym what you need to do outside. Professional athletes don't get paid to play a game. They get paid to train for a game. And you're training for life. That's what you're doing it for. You want to look good, feel good. A treadmill will help your cardio, but it's not going to help you in everyday life. I can't get behind a treadmill other than the fact that it's a great place to hang clothes.
What was that saying again? I want to write that down. You don't get about training versus being paid to play the game. How did that go?
Professional athletes are paid to train for a game. They're not paid to play a game. Muhammad Ali, back before he got special, it wasn't Muhammad Ali. It was Air Jordan. Michael Jordan said that he doesn't get paid to play basketball. He gets paid to train to be outstanding at basketball.
That's a great way to look at that.
Yeah, that's such an awesome. I wrote that down. That is too cool.
So for your listeners, the next time you guys are going to the gym and you're like dragging butt and you're, oh, God, I'm going to do this. Well, you know what? You're doing it for a reason. Remember, you know, you started this because you wanted to look better. You started this because you wanted to feel better. You started training and making yourself better because you had a goal. You wanted to play with your kids longer. You wanted to do an obstacle course or a mud race or a bucket list. You had a point. There was something that motivated you to go in. Reach back down and get that. Keep that. That's the reason that you're going. You just don't lose sight of it because, you know, one day you had like a Twinkie. That's like dropping your phone and picking it up and then smashing it to the ground because you dropped it.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah, that's another awesome one. All right. Hey, Allie, before we let you go, what's going on at the gym this week, and how can we reach you? Where do we find you?
Oh, we're still in Rockledge, hidden away in the world's most top secret gym. We've got strongmen powerlifters. We're gearing up for Pura Vida, which is our take on CrossFit competitions. It's go in and have a good time. There's going to be, you know, obviously fire breathers that win it, but if you're interested in trying a CrossFit competition, this is the one to go to. It doesn't matter where you're at, what your abilities are. You can make this wherever you are. If you're 73 years old and you're like, you know what, I'm going to show up the grandkids and go, we can make this work for you. So it's Pura Vida. Registration's open online. If you research Pura Vida 2015 Cocoa Village, you'll find this Point 2 CrossFit. And if you're already signed up, come down. We'll help you train for it. If you haven't signed up, what are you waiting on?
Rock on. Allie Newell, thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing you as often as you feel like being here.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mark.
Catch you later, my friend.
Take care.
Wow.
Man,
that guy is a good speaker.
Man, he is a great speaker. And yeah, you remember on our last show, too, I went down and hung out with him for a little while and saw his he's got such a cool parkour course set up in the back of his gym. Extremely cool. And I mean, it's so cool. And he's so smooth at the way he teaches and shows you things. And, you know, he actually, my brain actually started rationalizing trying to do parkour.
Yeah. Hope you have good insurance.
I know. And I can't reiterate enough too. One of the ridiculous things that some of the people that work out there can do is he's got 6x6 posts that are part of this arrangement that are 8 feet apart. And literally they climb to the top of a post and then maneuver themselves to stand on top of it and then jump to the other one and land on the top of it. 8 feet away.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That sounds like a young man's game, my friend.
I don't know. So if I was to try that, I don't know exactly how it would end, but I know that in the middle between leaping off the first one and let's just go with being loaded into the ambulance.
Right.
Somewhere in the middle, it's going to involve the sharp edges of the top of the 6x6 being dragged up my torso and then my jaw being jammed into my eye sockets. Yeah, probably something
right.
like that.
Yeah. So with that great image in mind, Sunday I'm taking my 15-year-old son up to meet a parkour trainer. Some of the entertainment stuff that Valor's getting into, one of the things they do is called ninja parties. And so he might start training to be one of those ninja. And it's kind of neat. It's a entertainment group, so they do balloon twisting and face painting and all that normal stuff. This guy that does the ninja side of it was actually on American Ninja Warrior and super sharp guy, will not let anyone even put on one of the outfits, you know, to be, you know, unnamed ninja number three, you know, at the party, unless you're a black belt instructor in some martial art. So pretty neat, but I'm taking Valor up to meet him.
Man, that sounds awesome. And Valor, I mean, I know him and I know he would be awesome at parkour and free running, that whole kind of thing. He would just totally nail that. At any rate, telephone number here at the Mo Show is area code 347-857-2793. Coming up after we talk with Trish, who is the race director for the Indy Atlantic Boardwalk Triathlon, we'll come back and the last interesting topic we're going to talk about before the end of the show is going to be growing muscles in a laboratory and then testing weird shit on them. I don't think I told you we're going to be talking about that yet, Nolan. That should be a fun topic.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, they do this crazy stuff with stem cells and that are almost muscle tissue. I don't know. I'm on the edge of dangerously trying to sound like I think I know what I'm talking about. So it is the Mo Show every Thursday at 7 here at MoFit.com. Telephone number if you would like to call in and talk to us, any of our guests, or anything fitness-related that you want to talk about. Of course, Mo is Mud, Obstacle, and Endurance. Our telephone number is 347-857-2793. As promised, joining us now on the telephone from, I think, somewhere nearby, I believe the Melbourne area anyway, is Trish. Hello, Trish.
Hey there. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. How are things down on your end of the phone?
Good. It's beautiful here. Are you here in Florida?
Yeah. I'm in Cocoa, and Nolan is across in Tampa.
Oh, okay. All right. It's beautiful here.
Yeah, it is.
It's beautiful everywhere.
So anyway, thanks a lot for agreeing to hang out with us for a little bit here tonight and talking about what you do. I know that we were able to get to you through Christine, who is sadly working tonight and couldn't be on the show. But first off, tell us what you do. I know you're the race director, and I've been saying that it's the Indy Atlantic Boardwalk Triathlon. Is that right, or how badly did I butcher that?
You have it perfect. It's the Indy Atlantic Boardwalk Triathlon. It's in Indy Atlantic at Nance Park, and I'm the race director for it. This will be the third year that we're having it, and I'm a marketing director for 3D Sports Medicine, an orthopedic surgeon in Indian Harbor Beach.
Oh, wow, cool. So I imagine the latter is more glamorous than the previous.
They're both fun. I mean, I do triathlons too, or I did before I became a race director. I don't seem to have time lately, but they're both fun. And the Indy Atlantic Boardwalk is a lot of fun. It's just a good atmosphere out there. It's fun. It's beachy. There's music, you know, barbecue. There's always beer at the end, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I've got my first question for you, Trish, is born of my own sort of perception of triathlons, and that is, how do you deal with all the deadly shark attacks?
When you put that many people in the water, there's no sharks around. They're gone. They're out of there.
Okay.
There's none.
Is it?
I know, but everybody is afraid.
I was only 97% kidding there. Sorry, Nolan.
It was a huge year for me.
Oh, yeah. Where do you guys do the swim part of it?
It's in the Atlantic Ocean. We do it right at Nance Park. I don't know if you're familiar with the area, but 192 dead ends to the boardwalk to the beach right there. So it's right there. It's a third of a mile swim right there in the ocean. And then we also added last year, so this will be the second year, a stand-up paddleboard division. So instead of swimming, you can choose to do the paddleboard and then complete the triathlon with the bike and the run.
Ah.
So your options are either to look like a seal or act like a seal.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what the sharks call the beginning of Human Week. And
yes.
Then they have a week-long celebration of different ways to take us out.
Well, they always say you just don't want to be first or last. You definitely don't want to be last.
Yeah, no, not in a situation like that. Yeah. So, Trish, from the standpoint of putting a triathlon together, give me some of the basics of what goes into it, because I could not, and the joke I made earlier is that I dread having to organize something as basic as a breakfast with, you know, 8 guests. But then when you escalate that all the way up to, you know, hundreds or thousands of people combining bicycling with running, with swimming, inherent dangers, lots of insurance issues you got to deal with.
Yes.
I mean, I can't even imagine
medical
where to begin.
Support.
I mean, where do you begin with that? I mean, that's probably, I guess, the best place to start.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I remember the first year I did it, you don't have any idea what goes into putting it on. There's a lot of little details, but the logistics are crazy. You basically start with your permitting and, you know, you figure out your route, and then you have to work with DOT and all the different cities that you go, the municipalities that you're going through. And surprisingly, Coastal Ambulance, they donate their time for advertisement. So we have them out there, and then my doctor, Dr. Dominguez, and then Beachside Physical Therapy, they're out there. They donate time. You do in-kind sponsorships, and then we have cash sponsorships. You know, there's the whole sponsorship part of it that's really hard, getting people to do that. And then there's the logistics of each individual, you know, the swimming, the biking, and the running. So we usually take, Running Zone helps with the running, and then swimming we have somebody that helps. The bike shops help, Infinity and Bob's. They come out and help. Just have a really good group of volunteers.
Wow. So from the standpoint of, I mean, there's lots of permitting and everything, right? I mean, there's a lot of interaction, probably a lot of bureaucracy that you have to do from the standpoint of having roads closed and all of that.
Oh, yeah. One thing about our triathlon that's different than most in the area is we actually close the road down the entire bike course. We cone it all the way around from 192 to US 1 to O'Galley to Riverside. They have a whole lane, and that's not that's not typical of a race. So that is one thing that we have above the others is the safety issue. It's like this year we're having 12-year-olds that are going to be in it because it's just, it's safe. They have a whole lane on US 1.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So then after the triathlon is over, how do you, and this is something I've always wondered, there's always stragglers. And earlier on the show, we were talking about the guy that, you know, took over a day to finish the Boston Marathon. From a logistical standpoint, is that as big of a pain in the butt as it sounds like when you've got somebody with a, maybe turned an ankle and is just being a, you know, a hero and won't quit, and you know, or for whatever reason, you've got all these people that are taking nine times longer to finish?
Mark's talking about me, by the way, so just so we all know that.
No, you know, yeah, we have somebody that it's a sweeper that cleans up on the bike, especially not so much the run because it's in the neighborhoods, but the bike, because as the last cyclist is coming in, they're picking up the cones. Bob's barricades out there cleaning up. And so you have a sweeper that's going behind. We don't ever leave anybody. Yeah, so it can be long in waiting on them to come. Last year we had one guy that showed up with no bike helmet. He didn't know he had to wear a bike helmet. And so it took him forever to get a bike helmet from one of the Bob's, I think, ended up giving him one. And he got started, and then he went the wrong way on the bike. Like, he went completely south on A1A. So it was, he finished so far behind everybody. But, you know, everybody has been such a good mood at those. And it's a sprint triathlon, so it's pretty short for triathlons. And they cheered him on when they came in, and he laughed about it. It's a really good atmosphere out there. It's a great group of people. It's very much a locals try.
So a sprint is, if I recall, is that the, it's the third of a mile swim, and then it's a 10K? Or
it's 13 miles on the bike and then a 5K run.
Okay, so that's very good. I did the first triathlon I've ever did last year. Oh, that was horrible. I did my first triathlon last year, and it was the Rocket Man up at NASA.
Oh, did you do the sprints or did you do the Olympic? Or
no, I did the, they were calling it Classic.
Okay, that's the Olympic, but, I think, right?
It was kind of a weird distance for some. I think the half Ironman was the only one that they had that was an actual sanctioned distance, I think.
Okay. That's a great race. My friend Mitch Barnes is the director for that one. That's a great race. I think
it was the last
year for it, though, right?
This year coming up is the last time they're doing it, yeah. It's going to be sad. What I loved about it is I'm a horrible swimmer, and absolutely none of the swimming route was in water more than, you know, 4.5 feet deep.
Yeah, you can walk.
Oh my.
You can walk the whole way.
Oh, and people were passing me that were running in the water. So, yeah.
Oh.
Totally.
The last Tough Mudder here in Florida had a half mile in that creek that was up to chest deep, and that was flowing water.
I love Tough Mudders. I didn't get to do one last year, but I did the two before. And you can get into some deep water or the holes. You can just sink right down in the holes and go almost over your head.
Yeah, you can. Are you doing it this year? It's in Palm Bay this year.
I know. Is that not crazy? Yes, I'm doing it this year. We have a big group of us doing it.
I think we're all doing it as well. So cool.
It's kind of crazy to think the Tough Mudder is going to be at the compound where we all grew up hanging out at different times.
I know. It's nuts. I've gotten so used to having to drive hours and hours just to get to them.
Yep.
And that's a miserable drive home, too, afterwards.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So Central Florida is going to be on your coast next year? You know, I haven't even looked.
Tough Mudder? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, it's out of the compound. You have to make friends with somebody and take a four-wheeler out there and bypass all the traffic.
Done. I'm going to write that down. Consider that done. Yep.
Yep.
Tough
so are you guys
going to
come do the triathlon?
You know what? I'm, I did the Rocket Man last year and checked it off my bucket list, and I'm just not a strong swimmer and not much of a triathlon guy. You know, it's not something I'm going to spend my fitness money bucket on other stuff that I really am passionate about. So probably not.
Paddle board race, or you could do a relay.
World's toughest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
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 Very cool.
I could get into being parts of relay teams on triathlons. I think that would be a lot of fun, either on the bike or the running parts.
Yeah. We did, the first year I did my triathlon, I didn't realize how much it was going to consume me planning it. And I was signed up to do the Pineapple Man, and I just didn't get a train the way I wanted to. So I switched over to a relay, and we put the relay together, and I had so much fun. And we had an all-girls relay. We ended up winning that year. But it was
awesome.
It was a lot of fun being a part of a relay. I didn't think I'd like it as much, but I did. You should
try
that. So
for those of us who don't know what that is it the same distance, but you split it up with three or four friends?
You do. You can do two or three. Somebody can do two events, or you can get three people to do three individual events. We had swimmer, a biker, and a runner. And the other two sit in transition.
That doesn't sound
bad. It's fun because you cheer each other on, and it becomes a whole big team effort.
Yeah, I treat most of the obstacles at Tough Mudder as swimming events.
Yeah. I'm very interested in finding out what this one's going to be like out of the compound.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll see you guys out there then, right?
Oh, yeah.
We'll be out there. Yep, definitely will. Hey, Trish, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I really appreciate you stopping by, and give us a quick spiel on the triathlon, the date, when it is, and where people can sign up online.
I will. It's in the Atlantic Boardwalk Tri. It's June 21st. It starts at 7 a.m. at Nance Park. It benefits Candlelighters of Brevard, and our website is www.boardwalktri.com, and you can register there. Have about 57 days left, I think.
Awesome. Thanks again, Trish, and I'd love to have you on again sometime, maybe as it gets closer and we can pitch it a little more.
Thank you very much. I'd love that.
Awesome. All right, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again.
You guys have a great day. Bye.
Yeah. That is the Mo Show. Telephone number here is area code 347-857-2793. Every Thursday night at 7. I don't know where I got 9 from. Thursday nights at 7. That's when we're here. And you can find us at mofit.com. I am Mark Boucher. Christine Hetzel typically with us, but couldn't get out of work tonight, so we respect that. And also over on the other side of the state, joining me from Tampa is Nolan Etheridge. Hey, Nolan.
Yes, sir.
So, last thing of the night. Are you ready for the last thing of the night? This is a good one.
I am so ready. Lay it on me.
You're kind of a muscle dude, right? Would you consider yourself kind of a muscle guy? Kind of muscle guy.
Underneath this layer of flab, there's some supreme muscle just dying to get out.
So here's this story. There's some lab researchers, for lack of a better term. Most of this is audio, so I'm going to have to go off the top of my noggin here for the lead in. But these crazy mad scientist researcher guys have figured out a way to take stem cells and mix them with frosted flakes and something else, and they start growing, and you sing to them and put them in the sun for enough hours a day, and it turns into muscle fibers. And then they start experimenting with cholesterol medicines and everything else, and electric shocks and everything. And the muscles work in the laboratory just like they would in your own arm or wherever. Creep you out a little bit?
Yeah, that's a little strange.
All right. Well, let's save your comments for a second. I'm going to play the audio because it's kind of creepy.
I have questions.
So do I. Telephone number is 347-857-2793. Here we go. We're growing muscles.
Imagine if scientists could test the effects that drugs and diseases have on the human body. your specific human body by growing muscles in a lab that respond just like your real muscles. That's the dream of Nenad Bursic and a team of researchers at Duke University. They created lab-grown human muscle that acts just like real tissue. The muscle responds to electrical pulses, drugs, biochemicals, and other signals, just like the muscles in your body. Think of Bursic and team as bodybuilders in the literal sense. They started the project with human cells that had progressed beyond stem cells, but hadn't yet become muscle tissue. They put the cells on a mini scaffolding, added a nourishing gel, and let them form into muscle fibers. They then launched a barrage of tests on these lab-grown muscles and found that they responded to cholesterol-reducing drugs, for example, just like regular human tissue. The Duke team isn't the first to build stand-in human tissue for medical tests, but they say it's the first man-made muscle that responds just like the real thing. The team's goal is also a little different. They want to provide personalized medicine to patients. Doctors could take a biopsy of their patient, use their cells to grow a bunch of muscles, and experiment to see which treatment works best for that specific person. It's a bit strange to think about twitchy tissue that's born in a lab, but these man-made muscles can tell us a lot about what goes on inside us, even from the outside.
So, man-made twitching muscle twist tissues.
No. I mean, it does surprise me. You can grow, artificial tissue a number of different ways. If they're using, stem cells to let it, stem cells let it remap into the kind of cell that you put it next to. So if you put some muscle tissue next to stem cells, theoretically, it becomes muscle tissue as well. And I don't know what the gel is that they were feeding it, but I mean,
nourishing gel.
It's very creepy. I mean, if they're using it for the greater good, but it sounds like it's one lab accident away from being in the next Spider-Man reboot.
Yeah. I would hate to do some digging and find that Stan Lee is on the staff over there.
I don't know. Yep. I don't know how I feel about that.
Couple minutes left in the show here tonight at the Mo Show. If you would like to comment on anything we have talked about so far tonight or growing your own muscles, well, I'd love to hear from it. Area code 347-857-2793. I want to just touch on this in as much as a PG-13 way as possible, but the adult industry possibilities with growing muscle tissue is just enormous, right?
Yeah. No, and honestly, it's the first thing I thought of, but, just in case my mother downloads this podcast, I, was going to avoid it.
Is that really what your mind left right at the beginning? Because mine did.
Oh, yeah, it was, the adult industry would take that and run, but for people that haven't really thought about it, the adult industry has been behind most significant leap forwards in technology in the last, 30 years. CD-ROMs came about because you could get adult material for your home computer on CDs because it was, the files were too big for the 3.5-inch floppies back then. So
that's $600 really what CDs, caused these.
It absolutely is. The reason that VHS won the format wars against Beta is because all the adult movies are on VHS because it's less expensive to produce. Well, that's what people were buying VCRs for. So the Betamax didn't make it. broadcast quality, amazing material, more expensive. The porn industry didn't adopt it, so it lost the format wars.
That's really interesting. Well, you got to figure the average porn viewer doesn't really care about image quality all that much.
No, they're going for different content altogether.
I mean, when you're only watching a show for 42 seconds,
yeah.
You know,
when you don't make it through the opening credit. But you get a lot longer lifespan out of that tape than you would out of a beta. So there you go.
Well, yeah.
Because you're only watching
point.
It for a minute at a time.
All right. Let's wrap it up with that. This is the Mo Show. The telephone number is area code 347-857-2793, although I don't know why I'm giving that to you now because we're wrapping up the show. But we will catch you next week. I'm Mark Boucher on behalf of Nolan Etheridge and Christine Hetzel. Go out and do something cool, and we will catch you next week. www.mofit.com.
Just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes. They all come out the same. There's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. They all play on the golf course and drink their martinis dry. And they all have pretty children. The children go to school. The children go to summer camp and then to the university where they are put in boxes. They all come out the same. Then the boys go into business and marry and raise a family in boxes made of ticky-tacky. They all look just the same. There's a pink one and a green one, a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky. They all